The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Now, you may have seen on your televisions over the weekend or across various social media feeds footage of the jostling and haranguing of Taoiseach Simon Harris when he was in Mayo over the weekend. Louise Byrne, political correspondent, The Irish Mirror, you witnessed personally some of it. Tell us what you saw, please.
Yeah, so this happened kind of across two scheduled events in Mayo on Sunday. The first incident occurred in Castlebar, where the Taoiseach Simon Harris, he was meeting with Maria Walsh, who's Fine Gael's Midlands Northwest constituency candidate in Friday's upcoming elections. And they were meeting there, and I guess the kind of first instance that we happened across in Castlebar was two protesters who were raising immigration issues. They wanted to speak to the Taoiseach about immigration. Him and the Fine Gael delegation were going into a coffee shop to have their lunch, and these people were trying to speak to them. They were trying to film through the window, trying to speak to them through the window in the establishment. Enda Kenny, as you might expect when you're in Mayo, Enda Kenny was around the place, and they then started to speak to Enda Kenny about immigration. They started filming him. So in response, Enda Kenny took out his own phone and he started filming them. And then a third camera came into the mix because I took out my phone and I started filming this interaction. And then, to be perfectly honest, the first set of protesters, it wasn't really the politicians that got the brunt of that. It was more so the media. They took opposition to us filming them. They were kind of trying to talk to us about immigration, being somewhat aggressive. So that was the first incident. And after that, it was decided that a press conference that the Taoiseach had been planning to do in Castlebar couldn't take place there, that it had to be moved. But still, the Taoiseach and Justice Minister Helen McEntee and Maria Walsh decided that they would go on a canvas up through Castlebar. And it was there that they encountered Enoch Burke's family. This is the jail teacher, of course, who is in prison for refusing to purge his contempt. And they wanted to speak to the Taoiseach and to Minister McEntee about Enoch Burke. The canvas continued. The Taoiseach continued to move on through the town. And then they were being followed the whole way up by Mr. Burke's family, who said that they wanted to speak to him. And eventually the Taoiseach left, Minister McEntee left, Maria Walsh left, and they moved on. Then we did the press conference with the Taoiseach, and he then travelled on to Westport to meet Maria Walsh. And then again, the canvas continued. They were meeting people on the streets. I was there observing it. I had planned for weeks now to meet Maria Walsh to cover a canvas as part of a series that the Irish Mirror is doing, going out and watching people canvas and seeing what the public reaction is like on the ground. I say we were about 10 minutes into that canvas in Westport, and the Taoiseach and Maria Walsh, Michael Ring was there, Alan Dillon, Fine Gael TDs were in a shop, and suddenly it was said to us that Enoch Burke's family were there again. Then again, the canvas continued. I'm sure people have seen social media videos of what happened. It's not exactly clear exactly what transpired as they walked up the streets in Westport. I was there, I was watching it. I'm not 100% sure what happened, but we do know that the Taoiseach doesn't want to call it a protest, but that incident has been widely condemned. And we also do know...
Well, Louise, sorry, for those who didn't see it, I mean, I think it's fair to say that there was a fair bit of shouting and roaring going on, and there was a lot of very fast walking. Mm. And also, there appeared to be a situation in which a Garda got pushed, and also a suggestion that the Taoiseach may have been pushed from behind. Did you see any of that happening, or is it clear from the videos?
It's, to be perfectly honest, I was there when it was happening. I saw the Taoiseach at one point stumbling, and I was more so looking at him because I was concerned that he was going to fall. How he was pushed into, how he nearly fell, I'm not 100% sure, which sounds so silly because I was standing there. But to be perfectly honest, it all happened so fast. And it was only when I watched the video back that it appears that a Garda was struck at one point on the back of the head. But again, we don't really know who that was by. We don't know the circumstances that led up to that. And I mean, I've been through this conversation with so many people now, and they're saying to me, what happened? And all I really know is what everyone else has known from that video that I shared on social media, because it really did all happen so fast. And it kind of escalated from a point where there was just shouting, there was you know, Enoch Burke's family and others filming the Taoiseach to a situation where I was concerned that he was actually going to fall over. So it sounds kind of incredible to say that I'm not sure what happened because I was there.
No, it doesn't actually. It's a very honest account of what you saw and what you didn't see. But what I'm interested in as well, was anyone arrested for hitting a Garda? Because I would have thought that that would have been almost automatically. If you lay your hands on a Garda or hit out at a Garda, you get arrested.
Well, so what we do know is that Gardaí in Mayo have said that they are looking into what happened in Westport on Sunday. We don't know exactly how that investigation is going. There was certainly no arrests on Sunday that I saw. I think the main concern was really trying to keep everyone safe, trying to keep the tensions low. I know shortly after that incident, Mr. Harris and indeed Maria Walsh, Minister Dillon, Michael Ring, they all left Westport and the canvass continued elsewhere. I wasn't invited to the next part, but I believe the canvass continued elsewhere and I believe it went off without a hitch. But I think the real focus there was trying to keep just everything calm, and how it wasn't always calm, and there was a few moments, and this was Westport Pride. There was actually a lot of people out and about. There was a lot of people kind of watching on, surprised at what was going on. But it no arrests that we know of yet, but we do know that Gardaí are looking into what happened.
And let's just hear a little bit of what Taoiseach Simon Harris did say after it all happened.
When you impede somebody's movement, it doesn't matter who they are, any citizen of this country, any person in this country, when you impede their movement up and down a main street of any town or village, that's not protest. It's very clear laws of the land. We live in a democracy, one of the most enduring, longest lasting, something we value. We have a healthy democracy. There's many people who could have put their names on ballot papers this Friday. Some people chose to, some people didn't.
Okay, that was Simon Harris afterwards. A couple of other things with you, Louise, before I bring in Danny McConnell. How many Gardaí were present for all of this? How many Gardaí were accompanying Simon Harris?
So I've seen a lot of questions about this and a lot of criticism online of people questioning were there only two Gardaí. And I mean, if you looked at the video and you weren't there, you might say that there was only two Gardaí because it was only two Gardaí that could be seen in uniform. But Simon Harris, as Taoiseach, and as all ministers do, have their own personal Gardaí, and there was quite a number of them there. So there were Gardaí out and about. I know a lot of people were suggesting that he was, you know, completely unprotected walking down the street. That certainly wasn't the case. There was, I would say, at least five or six Gardaí, if not more, around.
And how was Simon Harris's demeanour? We've just heard him there in that interview, but did he seem shaken by what was going on? Did he seem at any stage like he might actually confront those who were chasing after him?
I wouldn't say he was shaken. He was kind of in good form. I think he probably reacted to it in the best way that he could. When the initial incident in Castlebar with the Burkes, when he was walking up the street, they kept accusing him of running away. And he kind of responded and he said, "No, I'm not running away. I'm not running away." And he kept canvassing. Now, there's a lot of very fast walking, but I don't know if you'd quite call it running. In Westport, when they were asking about Enoch Burke again, his family, the Taoiseach was there with Michael Ring, and he just kept repeating, "Michael Ring is an incredible TD. He's an incredible TD. Thank you so much for having me, Michael Ring." So he was kind of trying to play it off. I certainly wouldn't say he was shook at all. He remained in good form, and I think that's what he was trying to say earlier today in Omeath when I was asking him again about what had transpired on Sunday. He was saying, and he said on Sunday as well, that this was certainly not going to stop his canvassing, was not going to stop his campaigning, was not going to force him off the streets, that he's going to keep going. So I think everyone is talking about it, but I wouldn't say that he was particularly moved or anyway shook by it at all.
Louise Byrne from the Irish Mirror, thank you. Daniel McConnell, editor of the Business Post. How seriously should we take all of this?
I think it's serious enough, Matt. I mean, one of the great values of Irish democracy and Irish politics is the accessibility of our political leaders. The idea of walking down a main street in Mayo or you know, Dublin or anywhere around the country and unimpeded and being able to shake the hands with constituents and voters is an age-old tradition, one that I think you know, is in sharp contrast to many other countries, even in Europe, where, you know, political leaders are have a much tighter security rein around them. And, you know, the informality has again, you know, from a politician's perspective, it's something that they value greatly because it feels that they're still in contact and still have a connection with, you know, the real world, essentially, and the matters that are affecting people's lives. So, I mean, this is just the latest incident, Matt. This is not just an isolated incident. This is the latest incident where we've seen more aggressive tactics being used against political leaders of all persuasions. We've seen politicians in Sinn Féin get sort of be subject to sort of argy-bargy. We've seen members of the opposition, like Paul Murphy, you know, jostled outside Leinster House, and Michael Healy-Ray jostled outside Leinster House. We've seen protests outside, pretty nasty protests outside people's homes, which is obviously a step beyond kind of what most people would consider acceptable. And, you know, we have seen kind of reports. There was a report kind of led by a task force led by the former Garda Commissioner, Noreen O'Sullivan, which reported in the last month or so, which outlined very clearly a whole set of recommendations as to how to improve security and safety for politicians. You know, one of the things that's kind of an anomaly in Irish politics is that, you know, politicians, when they stand, or even candidates stand for election, you know, their home address is broadcast and published, you know, in literature. And I think there's quite a sensible move to try and remove that, because we just don't want these kind of pretty unseemly people attacking people's homes and families. And there's only a matter of time, I think, unfortunately, before we see something really unseemly happen, because the momentum and the momentum is only going one way. And there's a reason why the Garda Commissioner, Drew Harris, in the last 18 months or so, has taken the operational decision to return and restore full Garda protection to not only members of the cabinet but to former Taoiseach as well. So this is, you know, this is a dangerous and increasingly dangerous situation. I thought it was very striking that, you know, a lot of civil liberty groups who have organised, say, town hall meetings or gatherings or hustings, you know, in the run up to this election, are reporting for the first time that they've had to engage with a Garda Síochána Conaire around, you know, safety protocols and kind of plans for dealing with kind of, you know, unseemly and protests, which have the potential to turn aggressive. This is sort of unheard territory. You know, the town hall meetings are sort of the sort of normal stock and trade of campaigns, and you know, generally we don't need or haven't seen the need for, you know, in-depth or kind of detailed safety protocols, but it is becoming a feature of Irish politics, regrettably.
We have one listener anonymously texting in to say, politicians deserve everything that happens to them and more. They were elected by us and they're not doing their job. They are completely out of touch with the common workman. But surely that's what elections are for. That's what the forthcoming elections this Friday and the general election, when it comes, people are given their candidates and they can vote them in and they can vote them out. And that's the way we do it, rather than actually going involved in loutish behaviour, shouting and roaring people in the streets, following them around, photographing them or filming them on their cameras. You could be damn sure, I think, Danny, if the cameras were turned on them, they'd be screaming about their civil liberties being infringed.
Well, this is it. Look, I mean, ultimately, you know, you're absolutely well within your rights to disagree with somebody. You're absolutely well within your rights to protest against government policy. But it has to be a peaceful protest. I mean, the minute you cross the line and start getting abusive and you start getting into the realm of physical abuse or physical violence, etc., like that, you have no credibility when it comes, because you're essentially, you're falling foul of the law, and there's really no justification for crossing that line. And, you know, ultimately, I think, you know, this has brought attention, Matt, on to the style of policing that we've had in Ireland, which is intended to be a kind of a hands-off approach. And ultimately, you know, there have been calls for the Gardaí to take a tougher line against people who engage in these sort of practices. Now, I'm not sure necessarily we'd want to go that far, but certainly there is genuine questions to be asked. If you have a cause to kind of get angry with, or, you know, you want to protest against the government policy, you're well within your rights. And the greatest, you know, I always remember Rory Quinn was the person who said it when he was in government. He said, you know, the Irish people, unlike the Greeks who took the streets in the wake of the IMF Troika kind of takeover, etc., that we didn't take the streets in protest. We kind of did our damage, and we set off our devices in the ballot box. We sent the message politically, and we did it through the democratic, you know, systems of this country, and we voted out in pretty dramatic fashion the Fianna Fáil government of the day. And that's generally the way it should be. You know, governments are accountable when they go for election, and that's where people can have their say. It's not, in my view, or in most people's view, I would argue, acceptable that you would subject a politician, a member of the media, female journalist, male journalist, or whoever it is, or politicians or their staff or their advisors, to the kind of abuse we're seeing increasing, you know, we're seeing increasing instances of. Because at the end of the day, all of this will have a knock-on effect. It means that politicians will be less successful, or people will be far less likely to go into politics. And that, quite frankly, is in nobody's interest, because if you can't get good people into politics, what hope does the country actually have in terms of succeeding?
Daniel McConnell, editor of the Business Post, thank you. And as one person said to me today, can you imagine if anyone had tried that with the President of the United States on walkabout? Secret Service would have dealt with those people very, very quickly.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.